Well, today's a day like no other. Hello, and no matter what season of life you are in, there is hope. Welcome to our daily broadcast, Hope for Your Heart. At this time, I would like to introduce Senior Pastor Calvin Corbett from Hickory Ridge Community Church in Chesapeake, Virginia, who has an encouraging message just for you.
Hello, welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Corbett. So glad you're joining us today. I want to let you know of an opportunity that is made available to you. We are doing breakthrough prayer every night at 8 o'clock. If you'd like to join us, just put a friend request into me, Calvin Corbett, and you can tune in every night at 8 o'clock. And we spend about 15 or 20 minutes talking about prayer and actually praying. And we are praying for a breakthrough for our nation. As we are going through and fighting this coronavirus, we're asking God to bring up revival in our church, a spiritual awakening in our church and throughout our nation. And so we're going to pray that we can have that. And that's on Facebook. And I'd love to have you join me for Facebook Live every night at 8 o'clock p.m. Well, we're going through prayer, and we're actually calling this series Breakthrough Prayer. This is part number 3. And I want to talk to you about the subject of time to pray. And if I could put a video on this radio broadcast, I would. I would show the video of Nigel Corner as he goes through a racing event. It's a historic event, a historic race in 1998. And in his accident, his car goes up in the air, and he actually comes out of the car, and he lands on the ground without even a major injury. Unbelievable how God was protecting him. And I had the picture right here in my notes where his car's going one way, and he's out there just like in the air, maybe 15, 20 feet above the ground, and he's about to hit the ground. And as I look at this picture, I probably imagine that he was doing some heavy-duty prayer, right? There's ample proof that prayer works. Some people say, well, why should I pray? Prayer doesn't even work. I mean, God is going to do what he wants to do. Life is going to be going the way it's going to go. Why should I waste my time praying? Well, there are many scientific evidence that have concluded and validated the fact that prayer works. Here's a survey that was done in Israel, for example. They had 10,000 civil servants for 26 years praying. And as they were praying over those individuals within their country, these 10,000 civil servants. They found an amazing thing happened. These 10,000 servants that were being prayed for 26 years by these Orthodox Jews were less likely to die of cardiovascular problems than those who didn't believe in praying. There is a study that was done from Dartmouth College in Hanover, New Hampshire, monitoring 250 people after they had open-heart surgery. And they concluded that those who had religious connections and social support were 12 times less likely to die than those who had none. In an attempt to understand the depression that often occupies or accompanies hospitalization, Duke University did research, and they assessed 1,000 hospital patients. Patients who drew on religious practices, including prayer, were found to cope far better than those who didn't. Now, certainly following a spiritual or religious lifestyle might lead to a better way of living, a better health. Those that devoted themselves to prayer were less likely to succumb to the hazards of smoking and drinking and sleeping around. However, for the non-believers, it's hard to understand how intercessory prayer works. Intercessory prayer is when one person prays for the benefit of another. An experiment was done where sick people were prayed for and didn't know they were being prayed for. In the most publicized studies of the effect of intercessory prayer, cardiologist Randolph Byrd studied 393 patients that were admitted to a coronary care unit at a San Francisco General Hospital. Some were prayed for by the home prayer groups, others were not. All the men and women got the same medical care. In this randomized, double-blind study, neither doctors or nurses or patients knew who would be the object of prayer. The results were dramatic and surprised many scientists. The men and the women whose medical care was supplemented with prayer needed fewer drugs, spent less time on ventilators, and had a quicker recovery. They also fared much better overall than their counterparts who received just medical care, but nothing more, no spiritual prayer. The prayed for patients were significantly less likely to require antibiotics. That was 3 patients versus 16. Significantly less likely to develop pulmonary conditions in the lungs, with that the lungs were less likely to fill up with fluid because the heart could not pump properly, 6 versus 18. They were significantly less likely to require an insertion of a tube into the throat to assist their breathing. They were less likely to die. Even more incredible is these experiments in distance healing involve non-human subjects, okay? So prayer doesn't just benefit humans, but also non-human subjects. In a survey of 131 controlled experiments on spiritual healing, it was found that prayed for rye grass grew taller. Prayed for yeast resisted the toxin efforts of cyanide. Prayed for test tube bacteria grew faster. I adore these experiments, says Larry Dossey, a medical doctor, perhaps the world's most vocal expert on prayer and medicine. He says, because they don't involve humans. You can run them with fanatical precision, and you can run them hundreds of times. It's the best evidence of all that prayer can change the world. And it operates as strongly on the other side of the earth as it does at the bedside. So we can see there is power in prayer. Mark 11:24 says, anything you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and guess what? You will receive it. Now, there's some things that we see here when it comes to this matter of prayer. Prayer always involved a heavy dose of gratitude, thanking God after he gives us something. Also involved a high level of faith. You know, forgiveness increases gratitude, and that actually produces more healing. Unforgiveness increases bitterness, and that actually prolongs your hurting. Thanking God before he gives it is called faith. 7 years before we bought a piece of property at our church, we had the faith to believe that God was going to bless us. We prayed for this. We also prayed that God would give it to us at the right time for the right price, and that he would raise the resources that we needed to purchase that land. Praying God can solve my problems way before I can see a solution, that is praying believing. 2 years ago, I started praying to God that he would do something for my son, Seth. And I prayed that God would either A, heal him, or that B, God would find a school for him so that he could do better and start to learn to speak. God answered that prayer. He's now in a school that has helped him immensely, and he's making strides in his vocabulary. He's making strides in his behavior. I say that is all because of prayer. Well, let's look at the book of Psalm for just a moment. Psalm 27, David said this, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army may besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even though I will be confident, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep you safe in his dwelling place. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above my enemies who surround me. And at his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. David was oppressed. He could have been anxious about the future, but he wasn't. Philippians 1:28 says that we are not frightened. We are not afraid. You see, there's a sign that we understand that God is going to protect those who are in his tent, those who are in his tabernacle. Well, maybe you came and you're listening today and you're not really desiring God, but you're just desiring some relief. I think a lot of people come to Jesus that way. They're not necessarily looking for religion, but they need some relief. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, there's an interesting story that we talked about just the other day. There we see that Jehoshaphat resolved to seek the Lord. He prayed privately and he gets other people to pray and then he prays publicly. I want you to know that when you are looking for relief, God is able to be giving you that relief. And then as a bonus, he gives you his peace and he gives you himself. Well, let's talk about how we can pray for breakthrough prayer. Well, here's the first point. We've got to be focusing on God and not the problem. When a crisis comes into my life, there's that temptation for that crisis to consume me. Maybe you're feeling that way right now with this coronavirus. Maybe it's just consuming all of your thoughts. You're worried about your finances. You're worried about how you're going to keep from getting this virus. You're worried about what's going to happen in the future. You have a lot of concerns. You're worried about how it's going to impact your family. You have all these things that you're worried about. I want you to focus on God, not on the coronavirus. Lord, I'm in a mess. You know, God already knows that. This coronavirus has not taken him by surprise. He is not up in heaven and says, man, I didn't see this one coming. God, for some reason in his sovereignty, has not caused this, but he has allowed it. He knew it was going to happen before we knew it was going to happen. Jehoshaphat, he was afraid, but he set his face to seek the Lord. I think sometimes God allows a certain amount of fear to come in our lives so it will drive us to him. In 2 Chronicles 20, verse number 3, we see there's nothing like a little fear to drive you to your knees. You see, we all do our best praying when our backs are against a wall. Well, how should you pray? Well, we learn from this passage just exactly how we should pray. 2 Chronicles 26 says, we should pray to the Lord because of his greatness. O Lord, are you not the God who is in heaven? He asked a rhetorical question. Well, of course he's the God in heaven. You rule over every kingdom, every nation. You are so powerful and you are so mighty that nothing and no one can defeat you. So when you don't know how to pray, pray about the greatness of God, saying, Lord, you are mighty, you are powerful, you are sovereign in this place. And then secondly, not only do we pray about his greatness, but we also pray about his power. 2 Chronicles 20, verse number 7. And God, did you not drive out those who tried to keep us from living here when you brought us back home? All these miracles that God has done for us. God, you're a miracle-working God. You're powerful. God, you're great, and you're powerful. You don't need my help. You didn't have my help in the past, but you are helping me today. As you look at how God has redeemed his people, God did not drive out those who tried to keep us from living here when you brought us back home. Yes, he did. That's a rhetorical question. Remember, God gave the land to Abraham, and he says, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. It took a few years for that to happen, but God came through on his promise. It probably would have been a whole lot quicker if the nation of Israel hadn't lived in obedience, or disobedience rather, for 400 years. I wonder how many things are being held back from us because we don't understand the greatness of God. We don't recognize the power of God. We think we've got to figure out everything on our own. Moses, when he finally brings the people up to the edge of the promised land, he gives to them and gets them freedom and gives them provision for 40 years in the wilderness. And he says to them, God gave us this land. God is going to drive out our enemies. We just got to go in there and claim it. You know, I remind myself often of the greatness and the power of God. And one of the reasons I do that often is because I am so keenly aware of how weak I am and how lacking in power and greatness I really am. I think this coronavirus has just reminded us all just how frail and just how fragile we really are. You mean an invisible virus that we cannot see can wipe out hundreds of thousands of people? Yes, it has that power. That shows how weak we are. And as we are praying, we pray up to the greatness of God because this thing is much bigger than any of us. So we pray, Lord, we are tapping into your power, into your greatness. And number three, as we pray, we're going to start praying God's promises. Jehoshaphat knew God had provided a promise. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 7 says, and also, did you not give this promised land to your friend Abraham's descendants to be theirs forever? Now, Jehoshaphat's just reminding God of a promise that was made. Dad, didn't you say this? Mom, didn't you promise this? How can you break your promise? Because we're imperfect, we may not always come through on all of our promises, but I want you to know God never reneges on his promises. Now, there are some contingencies to those promises. I think we can call them problems. And as we come through these problems and we don't lose faith over the promise that God has given us, he unlatches that promise and he comes through. By the way, as you think about answered prayer, God is going to answer our prayers according to his promises. So you do well to pray the word of God, to pray the promises of God. And then fourthly, as we look at how to pray, pray for his provision. Pray for his provision. 2 Chronicles 20, 10 through 12 says, our enemies want to destroy us. Will you not stop them from defeating us? Oh yes, of course he will. He will come through every time, all the time. He's never early. He's never late. His provisions never fail. God always comes through. Well, here's the second component of breakthrough prayer, and this is a whole matter of confession. Confessing that I can't do this, and I need God's help. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12 says, Lord, we're really powerless against this mighty army that is coming to attack us, and we don't know what to do, but we are looking to you for help. You see, that's when a breakthrough comes, is when we look to God for help. You know, you've tried everything else, and you've got to the end of your resources, and you finally throw up your arms and say, I don't know what else we can do, but I'm going to look to God for help. When you say, God, I need your help, that means you still think that you can do it, and that's okay. Lots of times you say, Lord, I need your strength today. Lord, I need your help today. Lord, I need your wisdom today. That's a normal prayer, but a breakthrough prayer goes like this. God, I can't even possibly do this because it's beyond my control. I need you to do this. I need you to step in. It's when we are most powerless that God is most able to give us his power. Have you ever felt powerless? Oh, let me ask you another way. Have you ever held a screaming baby and tried to get that baby to be quiet, and he or she just wouldn't settle down? A tiny baby can control you and wrap you around its fingers because you go, I'm an adult. I'm going to go crazy if this child doesn't stop screaming. And no matter what you do, that baby won't stop screaming. That's the feeling of powerlessness. When you feel that way, you need to pray a breakthrough prayer. Most of the big things in your life, there's nothing that you can do about. They're out of your control. That's why you need to learn the power of breakthrough prayer. Now, as you notice, verse number 12, going back to 2 Chronicles 20, 12, it says, we were powerless. But six verses later, when we started to pray, he said, you're all powerful. I don't have the power. If I'm connected to God because he's all powerful, I don't have to be all knowing if I'm connected to God because he's all knowing. I don't have to be in every place if I'm connected to God because he's in every place. What do you do when you're in a situation that you cannot control, you cannot change, and you cannot manage? What you do in that kind of situation, you wait and you trust, you wait and you trust. Sometimes faith means doing nothing, just standing still. Just standing there, waiting on the Lord. Try not to push something back into that court, but trusting him to get you through that particular time. You know, if I just figure this thing out, I think it'll work out. That's how many of us are processing things. If I could just figure this out, if I just knew how long this coronavirus was going to last, I think I could figure out what I could do. You just have to trust him more and more and more. Sometimes faith means doing nothing. Sometimes faith means just standing right there, waiting while the enemy is headed straight at you. You just wait. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Verse number 13, going back to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, says, then all the men of Judah stood before the Lord. Yeah, all the men just stood before the Lord, waiting with their wives and their young children and even their babies. When you think about waiting on the Lord, that is a tough thing to do. It's that time of trusting. But as you're waiting on the Lord, number three, you're also listening to what God says. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15 down to 18. This is what the Lord says to you. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Because this vast army, the battle is not yours, but it's God's. Don't worry about that big army that's out there. You won't need to fight it in the battle. Just take up your position and stand strong. Then just wait and watch, and you will see what the Lord is going to do. He is going to deliver you again and again. Don't be afraid. Don't get discouraged because the Lord is with you. Then the king and everyone else bowed down on the ground and worshiped God. What does God say about breakthrough? God has a lot to say about breakthrough. Here's a couple of things that I think that we need to really focus on. If we're going to experience breakthrough prayer, we cannot be afraid or we cannot be discouraged. Look at your prayer life. Is your prayer life lacking? Is your prayer life not powerful? The reason it's not powerful is because you're putting trust in yourself. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Why? Because when we do praying, that is the fighting part for us. We win the battle on our knees because God is going to do the fighting for us. As you think about being frustrated and fatigued, worn out by life, why in the world are you so tired? Why are you trying to fight this battle that belongs to God? It's not your battle. The battle is not ours. It is God's battle. The problem that we have is we think it's our problem. God says, "You're my children. Fathers take care of their children. It's dad's battle, not my battle." You know, one of the joys of having a son that has autism is he has no clue as to what is happening right now in this world. He has no understanding of the fact that we are living in a very perilous time. He's not worried about the coronavirus because he has no idea what the coronavirus is. All he knows is he has a dad that's going to take care of him. He has a mom that's going to take care of him. He has a dog that's going to be with him. He has people that come to his house that take care of him. He has complete confidence that everything's going to be okay because he's got people taking care of him. When we pray that way, understanding that God is going to take care of us, we can be at perfect peace. Praying through the battles sets us at peace. You know, sometimes I look at my life and I say, man, I must be a big disappointment to God because I really try to get things right and I really try to solve problems. And God knows I've messed up and I've made a mess of a whole lot of things. And so I said, God, I'm so sorry. I've let you down. And God says, nope, you didn't let me down because you weren't holding me up. You don't hold God up. He holds us up. You don't have God in your hands. He has you in his hands. If you got God in your hands, it's not God, it's an idol. If you think you can control God, it is not going to give you that power that you need. That's going to give you that special energy that you need. You cannot control God. You can't keep him in your pocket. You can't put him on your wrist. As you think about how God is, he is the one that is in control, not us. It's like me going on an airplane, and as I'm sitting on the back of the plane, I start flapping my arms. And you come up to me and says, what are you doing? I said, I got to keep this plane up in the air. I'm going to flap as hard as I can. And you look at me and says, you're a knucklehead. You can't keep this plane up in the air. You got to trust the pilot and you got to trust these jet engines that they're going to keep us in the air. Don't wear yourself out. Just enjoy the flight. How many of us do the same thing? We wear ourselves out trying to solve battles that don't belong to us. When you think about how you can have victory. You serve in the position that God has placed you in. You know, you're not to be Atlas holding up everything because God is holding up everything. You don't need to fight. You know, it's never God's will for me to run from a difficult situation. I just stand there. As you think about never, 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 never God's will for me to run from a difficult situation. So don't take what I'm saying the wrong way. Because if you run, you're going to face it again and again and again. My job is to serve in the position that God has placed me, and my job is to worship him as I praise him in the storm. Which leads to the last point. Thank God in advance for the breakthrough. 2 Chronicles 20:21, then the king appointed musicians and singers in the choir robes, and they marched in front of the army. They got the choir in front of the army, and they loudly praised and thanked the Lord. This is what they sang. We thank God. His love never quits. At that moment, they begin to sing and they begin to praise the Lord. And that caused the armies of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir to begin fighting among themselves. And they destroyed each other. As we have breakthrough prayer, we must expect God to turn that battle into a blessing. You see, don't miss your blessing by only seeing the battle. The battle will always persist, but so will the blessings. You decide what will become when you focus on God instead of the battle. No reason to worry, no reason to be afraid. In an article entitled, What, Me Worry? Why Worrying Does More Harm Than Good, Dr. Jim Taylor states, If you can do things that produce an emotional experience diametrically opposed to worrying, namely anything that makes you feel positive, happy, excited, or relaxed, you will counter the negativity and the anxiety that accompanies worry. His counsel remains on a Facebook post of a friend that says, "When you turn your worry into worship, God will turn your battles into blessing." What better way to counter anxiety than with prayer, giving thanks, singing uplifting songs of worship, journaling, and reading spiritual and inspirational materials? So God, would you take this prayer and turn it into a breakthrough for our lives? Help us to be strong in the faith. Help us to realize the battle is yours. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We'd love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.